If you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it will always be yours. If it doesn't come back, it was never yours to begin with. But if it just sits in your living room, watches TV, messes up your stuff, eats your food, uses your telephone, takes your money, and doesn't appear to realize that you've actually set it free in the first place, you either married it or you gave birth to it. Amen. You know, in the beginning, God created male and female, and he said, it's good. Then they got married. They got in trouble, and they had children. And ever since that time, it's been hard to raise kids. It's been challenging. But today especially, as we live in a postmodern, ungodly, non-Christian society, to be a good parent and to raise children with godly biblical values is a great challenge. Josh McDowell, noted Christian author, has said repeatedly that he considers the number one fear of parents, Christian parents today, is that they will not pass on their values, their morals, and their faith to their children. And research seems to indicate that there are real problems today in passing on the faith. As incredible as it may seem, research shows that accepting Christ or praying a prayer or making a profession of faith makes little difference in a young person's attitude and behavior. You've probably heard some of the statistics. 74% of our Christian kids say they cheat on tests in school. 83% say they lie to their teachers. 93% say that they lie to their parents. 63% say they become physically violent toward others when angered. 64% say that they believe if a person is generally good and does enough good things for others during their life, they will earn a place in heaven. 70% don't believe that absolute moral truths exist. And those statistics are not for non-Christian kids. These are about Christian-cultured kids. Now, granted, probably a lot of those kids are not really saved. Granted that the statistics, they may be a little bit off. But these indicate there's a real problem, folks. There's a problem today. We must do a better job. We must do a better job in passing on the faith. If not, the next generation. We are always one generation away from extinction in the Christian church. We have got to somehow pass the baton on to the next generation of Christians, to our children, to our grandchildren, to the children in our church. We've got to do a better job. Now, with that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles. Open them to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And as you turn there, let me remind us that the context, this is Moses' upper desert discourse. You remember years before in Kadesh Barnea, God told the children of Israel, I want you to go up into the promised land. And what did they do? They took a vote on it. Folks, when God says to do something, don't take a vote on it. Don't take it to committee. We're just to do it. But they didn't do it. And they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And now, as we are in Deuteronomy 6, they are at the verge of going into the promised land. And Moses, on his heart, the number one concern that he had, number one on Moses' priority list, is the passing on of the faith to the succeeding generations. Moses knew that the Christian faith was only one generation away from extinction. So in Deuteronomy 6, he warns them. He exhorts them. I think he was pleading with them concerning the passing on of the torch, the passing on of the baton to the next generation. Now, parents, again, I just speak to you. I know that if you're a Christian parent, you are concerned. Your heart's desire is to pass on your faith. I know if you're a Christian grandmother or grandfather, I mean, you love the Lord. Your number one concern, you want your grandchildren to know the Lord and to have the morals and the values of Scripture. I know if you're a Christian here, maybe you're not a parent, but you are a Christian, you're an adult. You're concerned that these kids that we have here with us today in our service know the Lord and follow the Lord. And so what he has to say here today to us, I mean, this is essential. And what Moses does here, and he gives three, I'll say instructions, three really commands that we must follow. We must follow, folks. This is critical. We are in a critical period in history. And we've got to follow these instructions if we're going to pass on the faith. Just three simple instructions. And I want to give them to you this morning. Number one, love God. Love God. See that in verses 4 and 5 of Deuteronomy 6. This is the Christian's number one priority. Number one, Jesus Christ said, when they asked him, what is the great commandment? What's the greatest commandment, Jesus? He quoted these verses in verse 4. And he said, and 5, Jesus said, when asked that question, he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Amen. That's the first commandment. And let me say, the greatest thing that you can do for your parent, your kids' parents, greatest thing you can do is not to love them. Or even to love your spouse. Those are two great things to do. But the greatest thing you can do for your kids is to love God. Yes. To love the Lord. And Moses says, listen, if we're going to do this, if we're going to pass on our faith, we got to love God. Now how? How should we love him? And he tells us, first of all, with all of our heart, wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, with everything that is in you, singly, not placing anything or anyone before God. And I think he warns us here. This is not an easy thing to do. It's not easy. Because things, and especially in our society, in our prosperity, it's not easy to do. He warns. Look down at verse 10. Gives him a warning. He says, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you have not planted, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourselves, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. He says, listen, you're going to get into the promised land, and God's going to bless you, and you're going to have an abundance. But don't forget the Lord. Don't forget God. You see, things can sometimes crowd him out. You got to love the Lord. And then he says, and don't follow other gods. See verse 14 and 15. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people who surround you. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you. He's a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. Wow. He said, Don't worship other gods. Anything that steals your heart from God, anything we put before God, becomes our God. Sports, computers, things, houses, cars, jobs, even our family. Yes. You shall have no other gods before me. God deserves us to love him wholeheartedly, folks. Wholeheartedly. Anything we put before, he's a jealous God. Not jealous like we think of jealous, you know, like childhood jealousy. But he loves you and me so much, he's not willing to share us with anybody else. Any other God. No matter what the God is, he's not willing to share us. It's kind of like Linda and I. If I said to Linda, you know, Linda, I really love you. And I love you, but only with part of my heart. And you know what? I'm going to love you 90% of the time. 28 days out of the month, I'm going to really love you. I just want to love this other lady 2 days of the month. Now, you know I didn't ever tell her that, because if I did, I would be dead. You know, that's unacceptable. And yet, you know what? We treat God like that. We're to love God with all of our heart. How else? He says, with all of your soul. That is your mind, your will, and your emotions. We're to love him intellectually. You know, I'll tell you, with our mind. You don't shelve your mind when you become a Christian. You give it to God. And you seek God with your mind. We need to meet with God often, Brother Steve. Not just Sunday mornings. We need to meet with God throughout the week. And we need to be into the Word of God. We need to seek the Lord and his Word. We need to pray and ask God to reveal himself to us in our mind. We need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We need to meditate upon the person of God. We need to know him better and better. Because the more we know him, the more we're going to love him. We need to love him intellectually. We need to love him intentionally. In other words, we should make it our aim to love God. We should choose the highest and the best thing in life, which is to know God and to love him. That's the highest and best thing, is to know God. That's why Paul said that I might know him. I can't get enough of him. We need to love him intentionally. We need to love him intensely with our emotions. When we sing, we need to sing with enthusiasm. I thought of that this morning, the word enthusiasm. Theos. Enthusiasm, it comes from theos, which is God, and en, which means inside. And I'm going to tell you what, if you've got God inside, you can be enthusiastic. And when you worship God and sing, you can get excited. I can get excited. I really can. When it comes to loving God. And we've got to love Him with all our strength. My body, my physical energy, God gives me. I need to use it to love Him. I need to give Him my body. And Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable, and it's just our reasonable service of worship. Lord, take my body. We need to give Him our body. We need to get these bodies out of bed all through the week so we can meet with the Lord in the morning. I hear all those amens. It's true. It's true. We need to get these bodies out of bed on the Lord's Day and come to church and use our strength that He gives us to love Him. We need to let our mouths thank and praise Him and speak of His marvelous works. We need to let all that we do show forth the grace and compassion and goodness of God. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we need to do it all to the glory of God. That's how we love Him. With all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Parents, you want your kids to love God more? You need to love God more. I need to love God more. We as parents, grandparents, workers in the church need to love God with everything we have. Everything we have. We need to pray. But you know what we need to pray? You know what I sometimes pray? Now, name my children. I pray, Lord, change my kids. And what I need to pray is, Lord, change my kids' dad. Change my kids' mom. Help us to love you more. And that's where it starts. Yes, it is. That's where the passing of the baton starts. How's your love life with the Lord? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love Him. Best thing you can do for your kids, love God. Number two, second instruction, obey God. Hey, these are simple, just real simple. Love God, obey God. It's interesting. You read this chapter. Go home and read Deuteronomy 6. Seven times Moses commands parents to obey God. Seven times. Verse 1, 2, 3, 17, 18, 24, 25. He says, do it, keep it, observe it. Seven times, just in one chapter, he says, if you are going to be successful in transferring the faith, in transferring the morals and the values of God to your kids, you have got to be doing what you want them to do. If you want them to obey God, you got to obey God. Because you know what? It's kind of scary. They may just grow up just like you. How are we to obey God? How do we do that? He tells us. First of all, we obey God devotedly. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, and these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. This obedience that God calls us to has to flow out of the heart, a heart of love and devotion to God. Obedience that comes right from the heart, like the psalmist said, Lord, I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. This is the love of God, that you obey His commandments and they're not burdensome to you. See, it flows right out of the heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Just like the kids in their pledge to the Bible. I'm hiding your word in my heart. You see, the obedience has to come from the heart. It has to be devoted. Verse 6 says, these words shall be upon your heart. Very interesting. The word upon or on is a Hebrew word which means a weight or a burden or a concern. And I thought, what do we get concerned about, or burdened about? Money. Perhaps sometimes finances, houses, problems, my job. I get burdened. You know what the Bible says we should be burdened about? We should be burdened about keeping God's commandments. We should be, our concern should be about following the Lord and keeping His commandments in every area of our lives. Let them be on your heart devotedly. We should obey God diligently. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, you should diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Diligently. Literally, the original states, keeping, you shall keep. That is the strongest way in the Hebrew to emphasize something. It's the same construction that was used over in Genesis 2 when it says, if you don't follow me, if you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. You shall die dying. It's going to happen. He says, listen, in keeping, you shall keep. Diligently keep my commandments. Diligently. With all your might, with painstaking effort, keep God's commandments. We should also keep them consistently. Verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, that you might do them in the land where you are going. Do them day by day, not just in church on Sunday morning, but in the marketplace throughout the week, and especially, listen to this, parents, in your home. In your home. You know, we should consistently be living for Christ. In other words, how you are here on Sunday morning, that's how you are in your home during the week. How you talk here is how you talk there. Or young person, how you talk here in church is how you talk when you're with your friends or in school. Consistent. That's not easy. But that's what we are to do. And folks, how long are we to do that? Did you see it there, verse 2? Oh, just all the days of your life, that's all. Just all the days of your life. Live consistently. And again, here's where some of us have problems, right? Amen? I mean, it's hard to be consistent. I mess up. You mess up. But if you mess up, fess up, pray up, get up, and start living for God again. Amen. Amen. And we need to obey carefully. Verse 3. You see it there, verse 3? O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it. Be careful to obey God. Why? Tells us that it might go well with you. Verse 2, that your days may be prolonged. Do you see it there? That it may go well with you. That your days may be prolonged. Verse 18, that it may be well with you and you may possess the good land. And look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. Why should we be careful to obey God? So that the Lord God commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival. Folks, obedience to God, according to Moses, was for our good, but it was for spiritual survival. I'm going to tell you this important stuff. Obedience to the Lord. So let's look. Parents, grandparents, Christian workers, Do we want our kids to obey God? Sure we do. Of course. Then we need to do, in the power of the Holy Spirit, what we want them to do. If your kids will grow up and be just like you and do the things that you do, are you okay with that? Howard Hendricks once said, he was speaking of the tragedy of much Christian experience. He said, the tragedy of much Christian experience is that as Christian parents, we are trafficking in unlived truth. And he compared it to this: a man who is selling hair tonic. And a man comes up to you, he's selling hair tonic, guaranteed to grow hair. And he's as bald as a billiard ball. He said, wait, you're selling hair tonic? It's guaranteed to grow hair? Yeah, guaranteed to grow hair. And you know what, folks? Sometimes as parents, we do that. We're trying to sell spiritual hair tonic to our kids. You need to do this. You need to be that. You shouldn't say those kind of words. You shouldn't watch those kind of things on TV. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Don't take drugs. Don't drink. And they're going, I know this is convicting. If one's out there, three are pointing back here, folks. But you know what? If we want our kids to obey God, we got to obey God. We got to do it. We've got to love the Lord our God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then out of that love, we got to follow the Lord and be obedient to Christ. Then, number three, see that? Then we need to teach your kids. Teach our kids. Verses 7 through 9. You got to see this. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk when you sit in your house, you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and in your gates. Then you shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You just go and you teach them. You teach them. If we're loving God, obeying his commandments, then we teach our children the things of God. And note, who is to teach them? Parents. It's the parents' primary responsibility to teach the children the things of God. And the primary place to teach them is in the home. It's not enough to send them to Sunday school. It's not enough to send them to Christian school. These are good things. The parents need to pass the torch. Paul said it in Ephesians 6. He said, fathers, do not provoke your children unto wrath or anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parents are to teach their children the things of God. How do we do that? Well, he tells us here again. First of all, we do it diligently. Verse 7. The Hebrew word here for teach, very interesting when he says, you shall teach them diligently. The Hebrew word for teach means this. It means to stimulate, to whet, or to sharpen. It's the same word used over in Isaiah 5:28. Its arrows are sharp. That word sharp is the word we have here for teach. And when we teach our kids, it makes them sharp that they may be effective and productive for God. We are to teach them diligently, and it takes effort. That's what we're talking about. Brother Steve was talking about. It takes effort. It really does. You know what? If you ever come by my house, I have neighbors on my one side. They've got a beautiful yard. Beautiful flowers. It's all green and nice.
They don't have kids anymore.
They don't have kids anymore. You're messing my illustration up. It's all green. It's all nice. You know what? Some people have all the luck. You say, well, Pastor Liza, hey, that's not luck. That took work. I mean, they're out there working a lot to get their yard looking that way. You know what? It takes work, parents. Dedication. To bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Diligently. We're to also bring them up or teach our kids intentionally, continually, formally, and informally. To teach them, that's formal teaching. Having a family quiet time. Family devotions. This is where the church comes in. And I'll tell you what, this is where Word of Life comes in. This is where Word of Life ministry comes in. I've talked to Becky. And I told her, I said, when we were bringing up our boys, I wished we would have had something like Word of Life. We had devotions most of their upbringing until they got kind of up into their teens and later teens, and it became more and more difficult with things in life and them working and all this kind of stuff. But we had devotion. I had to find those devotions, and Linda had to find those devotions. And we had to work, and we were always, what are we going to do for devotions? And here it is. This is a discipleship program. This is a program, folks, that gives you the tools to study yourself as parents and adults. As Linda has gone through those devotions, she said, boy, these are blessing me. And then you have the tools to pass on the torch. That's why I'm excited about Word of Life. It gives you the tools to do what you're supposed to do. Because they're with you, what, 50 times more than they're with us here at church. But it takes work. It takes commitment to teach. That's where these devotions, and then we talk to them. You teach it in formal instruction, but you talk to them in informal instruction, intentionally and continually, verbally and visibly, being communicating God's truth to your children. When you sit down in your house, when you watch TV, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, right before bedtime, that's a great time to communicate God's truth, because they want to stay up anyhow. So talk to them. The most powerful times to communicate spiritual truth sometimes are the informal times. We need to keep God and His commandments right before our children. I'll tell you what, we need to keep Jesus right in their face. Because you know what? The world is in their face. The world knows how to steal the heart of your kid. And on TV, advertisements. And on every billboard, advertisements. And on their computers, advertisements. The world is in their face. And the world is saying, you need this new thing. And this is going to make you happy. And this is, if you don't have this, you're a loser. And the world is constantly, constantly bombarding our kids. And you know what we need to do? We need to keep Jesus in their face and the Word of God in their face. That's what Moses said. Write it on the lintels of your door. Write it on your doorposts. Put it on your hand. Put it on your forehead. Wherever. Get God in the face of your kids. And teach them. Teach them. And preparedly. By the way, you see verse 20? See what it says in verse 20? When your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What did the testimonies and statutes and judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you?" Did you see that? You see, Moses is assuming something here. If you love God with all your heart and you are obeying God, you know what's going to happen? Your kids are going to ask questions. Didn't say if your kids come. It says when your kids come. When your son comes to your dad and says, "What's all this stuff mean?" You are to say, "Go ask your mother." No, wait. That wasn't in there. That's not in there. You're to be prepared. What is that talking about? That's talking about your walk with the Lord. That's talking about you being, you know, into the Word of God. You can't transfer something you don't have. So you got to be growing. None of us have arrived, not even close. And you know, there's been when times when my kids, even recently, some of my kids came and asked me questions. You said, "You know what? You know," I said, "I don't know. I don't have answers to that." But you know what it says here in verses 21 through 25? You know, the man, when the son came and asked him, he might not have had the answers, but you know what he told him about? "I don't have the answers, but I know somebody that does. Because let me tell you about when we met the Lord. We were down in Egypt, and God saved us." And you can point them to Jesus. That's what we got to do. That's what we have to do. We have to do this. And you know, even if we don't have all the answers, we can tell them this. Obey God and follow Jesus Christ, and that is the best life you can live. Let me tell you this. This one thing that I wish every child, look up this way. You're here today. You're all children of God, so look up this way. One thing I wish I could communicate to children, and they would really understand this, is this. God's laws, God's rules for us, they're for our good. When we obey God, it's for us. He wants to bless us. It's for our survival. And when we disobey God's law and His rules, it hurts us. Obey for your own good. Neglect them to your own destruction. We need to teach our kids. Now, in conclusion, we want to transfer the faith. Amen? We want our kids, we want the best for them. So the best thing we can do, whether we're parents, grandparents, Christian worker, love God. Out of that love for God, obey Him. Obey Him. I just thought of something. I've got to say this. I golfed with a former golf league guy yesterday. We were on one hole, and he hit one. It was over another fairway, and he let off a "aw F," is what he said. And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." I said, "Tony, you don't have to apologize to me." He said, and it's interesting, our relationship, which has grown. He said, "Well, if I'm around guys, I don't feel too bad. But you know, I've been around some kids, and I am trying to stop swearing when I'm golfing." He got it, kind of. Because kids, Christianity's more caught than taught. They will be like what they see. Love God. Obey God. And then teach your kids. And parents, if you do that, I wish I could tell you, automatically, they'll all turn out perfect. But I'm telling you what, it ain't so. But if one of your children go astray, and you've done that, the Holy Spirit has a handle that he can use and grab onto to bring them back. Let's pray. Lord, would you